Now, remember a few months ago, where you were at, earlier in Acts, Saul was on the road to Damascus to kill more Christians. He believed in God, but he wanted to kill lots of Christians. When Jesus spoke from heaven to him, and basically Paul asks, I would call it, because I've done this all my life, the two greatest questions you could ask. Here they are on the overhead. Who are you, Lord? And what should I do? Who are you, Lord? And what should I do? Today's title is this: God, what do I do next? You see, Christ followers ask thousands of questions in a year, basically asking this: what should I do next? And those decisions, those questions, can be all kinds of things. Let me just give you a few quickly. Should I stay single or get married? Should I keep my house or buy another one? Should I accept a new job? I'm concerned because it's in another state. And it just goes on and on and on and on the questions. Now, in our Bible study, you're going to see the Apostle Paul has his own plan. He's already made his mind up. It's very good plan, but it wasn't God's plan. He forgot to ask somebody, God. So maybe Paul didn't know these Old Testament truths, but you will now know them. I'm pretty sure you know them anyway. Here they are, Jeremiah 10:23. I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. In other words, Jeremiah is saying, you weren't created to direct your own life. You can't do that. So I wrote it like this: we're not able to direct our own lives. Only God is. Now, here's how that works in Psalm 37:23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. Now, that's important. He directs his children. He directs Christ followers. He doesn't direct people that are not believers yet because they don't understand it. They've never submitted their life to God. They're just doing life on their own. Some of them don't know anything about it. Some of them are backslidden. So here are some keys, and you might want to write these down. When asking God, we all do it, what do I do next? By the way, as a pastor, we look at the scripture and we try to break it down. Okay, God, what do you want me to do next? I asked that a long time ago. Pretty much all the time when I'm going through a book, all right, how many scriptures do you want me to do? Do you want me to do the whole thing? See, I could sit here tonight, and we're in chapter 16. You're going to see that in a moment. I could have read you chapter 16 in like 25 minutes. And then you would just leave. But that's not the way God designed me. I want, when you leave, to know how to apply the verses I'm giving you. Because it's an area that we need to learn together. Now, here's the three questions, basically, the three keys. Number one, a Christ follower is an ongoing journey with God. Now, when you see those words, we are on a journey with God. Till we get to heaven, we're on a journey. This minute you became a Christian, we're on a journey with God. Now, let me ask you a question. What does that mean? Who's following who? Am I saying, would you hurry up, God? Hurry up. I got something to do over here. And this is what I'm going to be doing, God. Thank you so much. I didn't have time to ask you. Let's just go this way. Is that what it means? No, it means who's in front of us? God is. Why do you think we call ourselves Christ followers? No, I'm a Balmer follower. Well, my dog is, and I hope my wife is, but that's about it. Same for you. So when you look at that, this is a question that you have to have. Here's the second one. It requires ongoing obedience. You're going to hear how to listen to God. And when he gives a plan, we have to obey it. Third, ongoing flexibility. There's lots of things that happen in our lives that are different than we are. And you're going to see Paul, he's going to have to be very flexible because we're going to see that his plan was not God's plan. So he's going to have to be flexible how to do life. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 16, 6. You guys online as well at our campuses. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Perga and Galatia, having been kept, now listen, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. We don't know exactly how the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul. Luke doesn't tell us. But here's something important. Next weekend, we're going to learn all the ways the Holy Spirit speaks to us. See, God is still speaking today. By the way, he's speaking to you right now through the living word of God. That's the number one way God speaks to us, always. Now, when you see that next week, it's going to be connected with this week, but we're going on to a new passage and finishing that chapter. So Paul and his team are on the way to take the gospel to the whole world. And I think probably Paul went to AAA and he got a map. He knows exactly where he's going. He's got everything planned out, and he thinks it's really exciting. It's going to be good. The problem is, when he does that, let me take you a look at it. He wanted to go to Asia. Now, why do we speak about Asia here? It's not China or Taiwan. Asia is in the Roman Empire. Today, it is the country of Turkey. Turkey, so you'll know, way up in that area, Galatia and all that, which is now different names, but Turkey, there he is. So that's where he's planning on going. And you're going to see later, that's not where God's going to use him. You're going to see these little cities, Tarsus, and you're going to see the Asian Sea that's going to be up there. I'll have a different map for you. And eventually, he's going to go up to Thessalonica, he's going to go to Greek and Corinth. And then he's going to eventually get to Rome. So you're going to see today, he planned to go to the Turkey area because Ephesus was there. Later, God will give him Ephesus, but not now. So when you see that, it's just amazing. Notice that Paul's plan itinerary was not approved by God. The Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going where you think. It was a great place to go, but it wasn't the right place. Now, it was clear that the Holy Spirit had other plans. Now, what is Paul going to have to be? He's either going to have to obey or disobey. If he has to obey, then if he wants to obey, it's going to be flexible. He's changing his plans. That's what we do when God does things. He just changes our plans. Now, he's going to have to choose between his plan and God's plan. You already know what the right thing is to do there. But in our selfishness sometimes, we want to do it this way. And later, Paul will totally submit to the Holy Spirit in the controls and decisions of his life. Here's a question for you. Here's a question for me. You guys that are watching all the campuses. Is the Holy Spirit in control of your decisions? Now, what's that mean is, have you asked the Holy Spirit? You say, well, Pastor Mark, it's a great plan. Paul's plan was great. But it was the wrong decision. He didn't go to God, but the Holy Spirit had to come to him. And so we have to be open, and you'll see that next week. We have to be sensitive to God who's speaking. Now, where does all of that happen? Well, it happens in our prayer time that we're asking God, is this what you want me to do next? And God will respond to us. God is still speaking today. Now, how does that look? Romans 8:14, you know this verse. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. It's very easy to reverse that word. Every Christ follower is led by the Spirit of God. No exceptions. That's the way God does it. So say this after me. Vieira, Sebastian, you guys online, everybody here at the campus, say it with me. Here we go. Christ followers are led by the Spirit of God. That is a beautiful promise because we're not doing our own direction. We can't do our own direction in life. We can't answer those questions, but God can. Now, when a person becomes a Christ follower, you know why that's true. The Holy Spirit comes to live in our heart, and for many reasons, but one of the great reasons is this, to give us direction with all the decisions and all the questions we have in our life. I need to hear God, and that's what we're talking about. Now, one of the most exciting things to me is to know that we can hear God's voice, we can know what it means, and then be led by Him. Can I just say to you, nobody knows what happens tomorrow. Was that proven in March of 2020? Yeah, everything changed. Was God up there going, oh my goodness, I didn't know that was coming. Well, let me give you another one. What about the storm coming? Does anybody know how, where, what, if any, it's going to happen? Well, watch the weather forecast. It will change every 5 minutes. And pretty soon we're putting up the stuff, and the next weekend it just blows by. Well, guess who knows that? God does. So see, we don't know what's around the corner. Everybody thinks in 2021, everything's going to be perfect again. Be careful. The only one that knows what's going to happen in 2021 is God. But He's still on the throne. You got it? Okay. So here's Paul. And how is he going to handle this? Well, here's why. Here's what I like. Anticipation about walking with God keeps us energetic, fresh, filled with faith and stamina. Because we know God's in control. It doesn't matter what happens. He's in control. He's always there. Notice what Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. Put Him first, in other words. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He's not going to give you crazy stuff. Now, look at verse 7. Everybody, verse 7, make sure you're following in the Word, because make sure I'm teaching the Bible. That's why you need to have it. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, would not allow them to. Now, how's Paul doing? He's 0-2 now. That should sound familiar to you and I. Sometimes we make a wrong decision. He's 0-2. This is the second time the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going to Bithynia either. That's not where God wants you. Well, how is Paul going to respond to two no's from God? He will not get angry with God. He will not disobey God. Because he knew that the wisdom of God was leading him. Now, I'm going to give you three ways God answers our prayers. If you've never written this down, you need to write it down. Three ways when you pray, there's three ways God answers our prayers. Here we go. Number one, yes, he answers our prayer. Basically, what he's saying is, enjoy life. I love to bless you. You're a Christ follower. And I want to give you good gifts. It's a way to go. Yes. How many like yes? How many like yes? Yeah, the whole hand goes up for all of us. Here's the next one. No. But we take it wrong sometimes. What's God saying? No, I have something better coming to you. And you're going to see tonight the two no's to Paul. Something's going to be way better than he ever could have imagined in his life. Now, as you and I look back over our lives, you'll discover truth. Often we thank God as we look back for no answers than even yes answers. Do you remember the person you dated in college? And you knew that is the one. But it didn't work out. And a few years later, you go to a celebration of 25 years. And you look across the room. Thank you, Jesus. Am I right? The minute she saw you, she says, thank you, Jesus. Am I right? You say, that doesn't happen. Oh, yes, it does. So a lot of people go back and go, God, thank you so much for saying no in a million different places. Well, now we thank him for the yeses, of course. But that's just the way it works in life, because we don't understand all of it. Now, here's the third one. Trust me, you have to wait. How many like waiting? I don't like waiting either. But what God is saying is, trust me, your timing is not right. God, who knows all things, must be trusted to direct our life. And here's one of the things. It will involve his will and his timing. We are to wait actively by continuing to live by faith. In other words, if you're probably here tonight or watching online on one of the campuses, we've all been there. Maybe you're going through it right now. God, when in the world are you going to answer this thing? Well, I'm just going to sit here and wait. No, keep praying. Have faith. He's always responded to you. He will respond to you, not in our timing, but his. You know what that builds? That builds stamina. That builds faith. Here's the verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. There's no way we can direct our own lives. So we have to wait on his timing. And as you know, God's will is involved with his timing. That's just the way it always goes. Now, so what are they going to do? Two no's. Look at verse 8. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. So Paul did the right thing. He obeyed God, didn't go to Bithynia either. He's not discouraged because he knows God always has something on coming, the perfect plan. Now, after two no's, Paul is in the waiting mode. Sometimes it's hard for all of us until God reveals it, but it will come. Now, here's a real great, I remember this, when I first learned this, I thought, that is so fantastic. Now, watch me. Look at Psalm 39, 2. It's on the overhead for you. Psalms, Old Testament. Do not be like the horse or the mule. Now, I won't ask you which one you are. Which have no understanding, but must be controlled by a bit and a bridle, or they will not come to you. So what is the Bible really saying there? He's saying this, don't be like the horse. What does the horse like to do if you don't have a bridle on him? Woo! Run right ahead of you. You ever been riding on one of those horses? See, I don't like riding horses. My wife likes to ride horses. And I can't tell you the number of times we've been out there. And she gets this thing. And what do I get? Hold it, hold it, hold it. Where are you going? And my wife's over there going, yes. Because she knows how to ride a horse. I just get on it. I don't know what to do with the thing. But here it is. Think about this. Watch what it says. Do not be like the horse who will run ahead. Do not be like the mule, as you can't get him to move anywhere. Stubborn. If we wait for God's timing, look what God promises. But I want you to see this. Here's the danger. Don't move ahead of God. I'm talking about waiting. Don't move ahead of God and don't lag behind God. Oh, you finally came through, God. Well, it's a little late for me now. No, it is not too late. You just follow God's timing. Look what he says. If we wait, I will instruct you. I will teach you, and the way you should go, I will counsel you and watch over you. See, that's the all-knowing God that we follow. We don't know that. Now, verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, remember, the greatest help we can give people is introducing him to Jesus Christ. So that's what's going to happen. So God honored Paul's obedience and gave him a supernatural vision that would make it so clear in Paul's mind, I know what to do now next. You gave me a vision. It's your plan. I didn't come up with it. I couldn't come up with it. You did it perfectly. So God's will, now watch me, was for Paul to go to Europe. He never had Europe in his mind. The gospel had never gone to Europe, But God had a plan for this time. It will go to Europe to share the gospel. Now, because of all God's Paul's obedience, the gospel went westward, ultimately in Europe. Now, think about this. And eventually from Europe, how did North America get the gospel? From Europe. It came here. So as you're here tonight, if you live in North America, you're watching me, because of Paul's obedience, eventually from Europe, the gospel would come to North America. Now here we have a problem. We need to take the gospel back to Europe because they're basically, many of them are secular. They don't care anything about God. But the reason you're probably here tonight is because Paul obeyed God. Let me show you the map. You can just see it very clear. Now, remember, he's over here. He's at Troas. There's Asia, which is the Turkey. And he's going to have to get on a boat and come to the Aegean Sea. And he's going to come over. And you're going to see over there, eventually, there's Macedonia, where he's going, which the church in Philippi will start there. And look what's up in that left-hand corner. There is Europe. That's where it's going to go, Italy and all the rest of the things. So that was always God's plan. Now, later, he'll get to the other countries. But right now, God said, no, I want you to go here. So here's what happens. I like this statement because I've discussed it. I've experienced it in my own life. Look at the next one. Have faith. A closed door will lead to another open door. When God closes a door, be patient. Wait, because he'll open another door. Because God wants the whole world to be saved. So when one door closes, another one will open. When we got to this property, God closed the door I thought was right. Another area, another place. He just closed it. And I was not happy with God. But he'd open another area. You know, when we bought the first lot, the owner said, you have to buy the whole property. Well, we were just opening the church. I said, we don't have that kind of money. And he said, well, I'll only sell the whole property. Well, we figured that's over with. And I kept praying, went back to him. And one day he was in the hospital. I went back to him, and I prayed with him. He says, all right, I'll sell you 10 acres. I said, praise the Lord. And then later, the church grew crazy. And I went back to him, kind of like this. Could you sell us the other 10 acres? He says, yeah, absolutely. Same price. Now, see, God closes the door and opens another one. You know what happened in the end? I went to visit him in the hospital, and before he died, he came to Jesus Christ. See, God knows what he's doing. I didn't know what was happening, but he did. Now, notice in Macedonia, they're begging him to come here and help us. How many people do you think are around us that are begging for help, but they don't know what they need? They need Jesus. They're all over the place. Now, God knew the hungry hearts of the people in Europe as well, hadn't ever been exposed to it. And God knows around us, office, neighborhood, school, is ready to receive the gospel. We need to pray, watch for an open door, continue to do it. Verse 10. After Paul had seen the vision, notice this little circle. You want to put this in your Bible if it's your Bible. Notice this word, after vision. After Paul had seen the vision, we. Now, who's writing the book of Luke? The book of Luke and the book of Acts. Who's writing it? Luke is. So who joined them? Luke did. At this point, Luke joined them and getting ready to go to. Notice that once we left for Macedonia, God has called us to preach the gospel to them. So in Luke 10, a physician, the writer of Acts, and the author of Luke itself, one of the gospels, now the team is four. Now, notice that word in verse 10. They got ready at once. Paul isn't going, I don't really want to go to Macedonia. It's not in my list. No, at once, the whole team went. See, he's the leader. And when God changes, and you have to be flexible, you need to go with God. And when God changed us here with this, we just went with it. because we knew that was God. We were like 200 people or something like that. I don't know what we were, 300, 500. Boom, all of a sudden God went crazy with us. Thank you, Lord. Now, notice, there's no resentment. There's no procrastination. I talked about procrastination last week. There was no procrastination at all. And Paul and his party responded and left for Macedonia. Now, as I showed you, they're going to have to get on a boat, which wasn't his plan at all. It was always going to be on land. Now he's going to go through the Aegean Sea. Now, remember what I told you at the beginning? The Christian life requires ongoing obedience and ongoing flexibility. That will never change. We have to be obedient and we have to be flexible because God knows what he's doing. Now, look at Acts 16:11. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day onto Neapolis, a Roman colony and the leading city of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. Now, what do you think Paul and his team expected when they arrived with these people? This vision was they were looking. What did they expect when they arrived? Did they expect this huge crowd of people who would be going, finally you got here. We've been waiting for you. We need to hear the gospel. Well, when they arrived there, there was no reception at all. They didn't know who the four were. In fact, there was no church. There was no synagogue. There was no crowd of people asking about God. This is where we have to understand the danger of unrealistic expectations and God's timing as well. And God's ways are not our ways, but his ways are perfect. So they're probably thinking, well, we got a boat ride. We weren't well going over here. We can't go over here. We come here and there's nobody here. So what are they going to do? Our responsibility is to obey God. He directed them there. Something's going to happen. So does the team go to the coffee shop and wait for God to open the door? No, I believe this is probably what they prayed. God, okay, we're here. What's the title of the teaching? What do we do next? We don't know anybody here. There's no synagogue. Paul can't go and teach. What do we do next? So the Holy Spirit, I know, guided them and told them the next steps to take. What would that look like? Look at verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. And we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there on the Sabbath day. See, Paul was a Jew. He knew the Jewish customs. Let me just share it with you. When you went into a city, if there weren't 10 Jewish men, you couldn't have a synagogue. But Paul knew when that happened, the believers in God would go down by a body of water, a river, whatever, canal, to worship and praise God because they didn't have a building. Well, there weren't 10 Jews there. So that's exactly what happened. There was no synagogue, so they would just go to the open place and usually offer prayer on the Sabbath as if there was a church. So the Holy Spirit led Paul and his team to these people where people were. He knew enough to go down by the water. He says to the guys, there's no synagogue. I kind of know where they'll be if there's any believers here at all. And we're going to go down there by the water. Now, what do they find? A woman's prayer meeting. And the Christian life requires what? Ongoing obedience and what? Flexibility. He's looking for a church. No church. Does God open another door? Yes, right down by the riverside. That's where he's going. He knows there's going to be people there if there's anybody that's a believer. Now, look at verse 14. One of those listening, so Paul is already teaching. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira. Now watch this. Look at your Bible. Who was a worshiper of God. She had become a worshiper of God rather than the pagans. And somehow she heard about God. So she was a worshiper of God. And notice the next thing. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Now this is a huge thing. She was a well-to-do, actually very rich Gentile merchant who sold fabric dyed in purple. She had turned from pagan idolatry to worship the God of Israel. but she had never heard a word about Jesus. Didn't know anything. She knew God, but that's it. She moved from a pagan to worship God, but that's all she had. So Paul taught these women, of course, how to accept Jesus Christ, who he was, how he came, how he died. He's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And after that, the Holy Spirit did one thing. Paul's message didn't open her heart. The Holy Spirit opened her heart. Now, Jesus said this one day, no one can come to me unless the Father sends me, draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So God draws people to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Now, when you became a Christian, God had called you, but the Holy Spirit lovingly convicted us. You have sin. You're not going to heaven. The biggest need you have is forgiveness. That was the Holy Spirit. Every believer must hear that. But then the next step is the unbeliever has to believe, be willing to repent, and believe in Jesus. So here's what's huge. Look at this. All Christ followers are called to share the good news. The rest is up to the Holy Spirit and the decision of those who hear the good news. So when I'm sharing the gospel one-on-one, in a meeting, in a nation, India, China, all these places we went forever, when I'm sharing the word, the Holy Spirit's taking the word and speaking to people. Now, they then have to decide and go, okay, I have to repent of my sins. I need Jesus. This is what's going to happen right here in this story. And then the next thing is, they have to decide, I have to repent myself. The Holy Spirit doesn't repent for us. We have to repent. He says, you can be right with God. Here's my promise. If you accept Jesus, you will be forgiven and you go to heaven. So that's what's happening here by the riverside. Now, notice, look at verse 15. When she and the members of her household were baptized, so they got baptized. So what already happened? They all got saved. Is that amazing? All the women there got saved. They asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart. First time they ever heard about it. They all got saved. And the next thing is they're baptized. Then she does this. She invites us, the team of four, to her home. She was rich. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So look at me. This is very important. Lydia was the first convert in Europe, in the world. You're reading history. You're reading amazing history. The first convert in Europe, Lydia, a woman down by the riverside. What a beautiful picture. So the whole household, which would have included her servants and guests and relatives, whatever, basically got baptized in water. Now remember, baptism comes after salvation. Water baptism is a command from God, but it doesn't save you. That's exactly what they did. So what can we learn from Paul so far here? Well, he's flexible. He is absolutely submissive and obeys God. He knows the journey. He isn't leading it. God is leading it. And when you see that, it's a beautiful picture. You know what happens later? From this event, the church at Philippi, which is where they're at, will be one of his favorite churches ever. The book of Philippians. Now, the whole team are watching and learning. Let me just ask you two things, because we've learned so much tonight ourselves. What are two things that you can take from Paul's ministry and apply it to your life? Remember the three things. Yes, no, wait. But you don't get any of those unless you pray and ask. Is this what you want, God? Is this what I should do next? Boom, boom, boom. Yes, no, wait. But here's two more. Here we go. God, what do I do next? Ask God for his wisdom and direction. See, we don't know what to do in these decisions. We have no idea what to do in these decisions. When we were closed down because of the virus, the leadership, the elders, we didn't know what to do. I mean, where do you turn? Okay, virus, chapter Jeremiah 35. Here's what you do. You have to distance. You have to wear your mask. Yeah, right. But that's the same thing with you and your lives and your businesses. I remember the day that I, you heard me, that I made decisions in college. I knew that I was in engineering and I had calculus and physics. I said, Jesus, I'm going nowhere. Help me. I walked by the School of Pharmacy and God said, that's where you need to be. Yes. If not, you wouldn't have me here because I'd have failed and flunked everything. I couldn't understand physics. I couldn't understand any of that. Calculus, oh my, God help me. One and two is enough for me. Here we go. Now, so I have to need that wisdom and direction. What's the Bible tell us? If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, not Google. Nothing wrong with asking Google, but, you know, half the time you don't know. Who gives generously without falling, falling will be given to him. Here's the next one about direction. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. We already read that. He directs the steps of the godly, and he delights in every detail. Here's the next one. Ask God to teach us to do his will. It doesn't help us to get an answer from God and then not obey. Paul was told, no, no, yes, go there. Here's the vision. He does. Psalm 143:10. Teach me, this is David speaking, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on firm footing. You see, we struggle very often, and we know it's coming, but God, I'm not sure I can really do that. I can obey you. Yes, you can. When God says, that's what I want you to do, do it. Now, here's something I'm going to leave you with, and then we're going to take a quick prayer, and then we're going to have worship, and then we're going to take communion. Only the God-directed life, seriously, only the God-directed life is productive, effective, and enjoyable. Yes, there's ups and downs. That's the only life. Any other life will never work for you. It will never satisfy you. I don't care who you are. Only a God-directed life is productive, effective, and enjoyable. And remember, all those things are ongoing. You don't do it once. It's a lifestyle of following God. Now, let me just speak to you. You can just keep your eyes open here at the campuses. Also, those of you that are watching, all of you by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you homes watching, just look at me. Like the woman at the well, excuse me, at the river, what we watched her, Lydia, she believed in God, but she never heard about Jesus. Many of you who are watching me, men, ladies, you believe in God. But you have never turned your life over to Jesus Christ. You may have heard about him, but you never realized what that was. You never heard that there's a role that you have to do. And so God's will always starts. What should you do next? It's very simple. God's will asks for you. You need a personal relationship with Jesus. So the first thing you do is you say, Jesus, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to follow you. I want my sins forgiven. So you just ask God, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer to ask God to forgive you of your sins. Jesus died on the cross. They're already paid for. You cannot earn salvation. It has to come from you through what Jesus has already done. He has died and paid for your sins. Now, knowing about God is good, but it's not good enough. That's why Paul had to explain the gospel of Jesus. Now, the next thing you see here is some of you used to follow Jesus, but you've gotten off the path. You became one that changed. You are now leading your life. And I can tell you, because I've been doing this for 50-some years in different ways, you are having dead end after dead end after dead end after dead end. Oh, it was fun at the beginning, but it's a miserable life. It's time to make a recommitment and put the one that you need to be following in front of you. His name is God, and the Holy Spirit will direct your life as to. So you need to make that recommitment and do the very same thing. Ask God to forgive you. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you want to have Christ for the very first time in your life or make a recommitment, I want you just to bow your head right now, wherever you're at, and I'm going to pray a prayer. You pray this prayer quietly, wherever you're at, just to yourself, and mean it to God. Here it is. God, I know Jesus paid for my sins, and I am a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I know he died for me, and today I choose to ask God to forgive me of my sins. And I choose to put my faith in Jesus Christ and to begin a life of following him. Thank you. Today I receive that gift of salvation that I don't deserve, but it's a gift from you. Today, thank you for saving my life. And for those of you that need to make that recommitment, just say to him, God, I'm ready to come back home. I need a new start. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name. Now, remember a few months ago, where you were at, earlier in Acts, Saul was on the road to Damascus to kill more Christians. He believed in God, but he wanted to kill lots of Christians. When Jesus spoke from heaven to him, and basically Paul asks, I would call it, because I've done this all my life, the two greatest questions you could ask. Here they are on the overhead. Who are you, Lord? And what should I do? Who are you, Lord? And what should I do? Today's title is this: God, what do I do next? You see, Christ followers ask thousands of questions in a year, basically asking this: what should I do next? And those decisions, those questions, can be all kinds of things. Let me just give you a few quickly. Should I stay single or get married? Should I keep my house or buy another one? Should I accept a new job? I'm concerned because it's in another state. And it just goes on and on and on and on the questions. Now, in our Bible study, you're going to see the Apostle Paul has his own plan. He's already made his mind up. It's very good plan, but it wasn't God's plan. He forgot to ask somebody, God. So maybe Paul didn't know these Old Testament truths, but you will now know them. I'm pretty sure you know them anyway. Here they are, Jeremiah 10:23. I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. In other words, Jeremiah is saying, you weren't created to direct your own life. You can't do that. So I wrote it like this: we're not able to direct our own lives. Only God is. Now, here's how that works in Psalm 37:23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. Now, that's important. He directs his children. He directs Christ followers. He doesn't direct people that are not believers yet because they don't understand it. They've never submitted their life to God. They're just doing life on their own. Some of them don't know anything about it. Some of them have backslidden. So here are some keys, and you might want to write these down. When asking God, we all do it, what do I do next? By the way, as a pastor, we look at the scripture and we try to break it down. Okay, God, what do you want me to do next? I asked that a long time ago. Pretty much all the time when I'm going through a book, all right, how many scriptures do you want me to do? Do you want me to do the whole thing? See, I could sit here tonight, and we're in chapter 16. You're going to see that in a moment. I could have read you chapter 16 in like 25 minutes, and then you would just leave. But that's not the way God designed me. I want, when you leave, to know how to apply the verses I'm giving you, because it's an area that we need to learn together. Now, here's the three questions, basically, the three keys. Number one, a Christ follower is an ongoing journey with God. Now, when you see those words, we are on a journey with God. Till we get to heaven, we're on a journey. This minute you became a Christian, we're on a journey with God. Now, let me ask you a question. What does that mean? Who's following who? Am I saying, would you hurry up, God? Hurry up. I got something to do over here. And this is what I'm going to be doing, God. Thank you so much. I didn't have time to ask you. Let's just go this way. Is that what it means? No, it means who's in front of us? God is. Why do you think we call ourselves Christ followers? No, I'm a Balmer follower. Well, my dog is, and I hope my wife is, but that's about it. Same for you. So when you look at that, this is a question that you have to have. Here's the second one. It requires ongoing obedience. You're going to hear how to listen to God. And when he gives a plan, we have to obey it. Third, ongoing flexibility. There's lots of things that happen in our lives that are different than we are. And you're going to see Paul, he's going to have to be very flexible, because we're going to see that his plan was not God's plan. So he's going to have to be flexible how to do life. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 16, 6. You guys online as well at our campuses. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. We don't know exactly how the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul. Luke doesn't tell us. But here's something important. Next weekend, we're going to learn all the ways the Holy Spirit speaks to us. See, God is still speaking today. By the way, he's speaking to you right now through the living word of God. That's the number one way God speaks to us, always. Now, when you see that next week, it's going to be connected with this week, but we're going on to a new passage and finishing that chapter. So Paul and his team are on the way to take the gospel to the whole world. And I think probably Paul went to AAA and he got a map. He knows exactly where he's going. He's got everything planned out, and he thinks it's really exciting. It's going to be good. The problem is, when he does that, well, let me take you a look at it. He wanted to go to Asia. Now, why do we speak about Asia here? It's not China or Taiwan. Asia is in the Roman Empire. Today, it is the country of Turkey. Turkey, so you'll know. Way up in that area, Galatia and all that, which is now different names, but Turkey, there he is. So that's where he's planning on going. And you're going to see later, that's not where God's going to use him. You're going to see these little cities, Tarsus, and you're going to see the Asian Sea that's going to be up there. I'll have a different map for you. And eventually, he's going to go up to Thessalonica. He's going to go to Greek and Corinth. And then he's going to eventually get to Rome. So you're going to see today, he planned to go to the Turkey area because Ephesus was there. Later, God will give him Ephesus, but not now. So when you see that, it's just amazing. Notice that Paul's plan, itinerary, was not approved by God. The Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going where you think. It was a great place to go, but it wasn't the right place. Now, it was clear that the Holy Spirit had other plans. Now, what is Paul going to have to be? He's either going to have to obey or disobey. If he has to obey, then he's going to, if he wants to obey, it's going to be flexible. He's changing his plans. That's what we do when God does things. He just changes our plans. Now, he's going to have to choose between his plan and God's plan. You already know what the right thing is to do there. But in our selfishness sometimes, we want to do it this way. And later, Paul will totally submit to the Holy Spirit in the controls and decisions of his life. Here's a question for you. Here's a question for me. You guys that are watching, all the campuses. Is the Holy Spirit in control of your decisions? Now, what that means is, have you asked the Holy Spirit? You say, well, Pastor Mark, it's a great plan. Paul's plan was great, but it was the wrong decision. He didn't go to God, but the Holy Spirit had to come to him. And so we have to be open, and you'll hear that next week. We have to be sensitive to God who's speaking. Now, where does all of that happen? Well, it happens in our prayer time that we're asking God, is this what you want me to do next? And God will respond to us. God is still speaking today. Now, how does that look? Romans 8:14, you know this verse. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. It's very easy to reverse that word. Every Christ follower is led by the Spirit of God. No exceptions. That's the way God does it. So say this after me. Vieira, Sebastian, you guys online, everybody here at the campus, say it with me. Here we go. Christ followers are led by the Spirit of God. That is a beautiful promise because we're not doing our own direction. We can't do our own direction in life. We can't answer those questions, but God can. Now, when a person becomes a Christ follower, you know why that's true. The Holy Spirit comes to live in our heart, and for many reasons, but one of the great reasons is this, to give us direction with all the decisions and all the questions we have in our life. I need to hear God, and that's what we're talking about. Now, one of the most exciting things to me is to know that we can hear God's voice, we can know what it means, and then be led by him. Can I just say to you, nobody knows what happens tomorrow. Was that proven in March of 2020? Yeah, everything changed. Was God up there going, oh my goodness, I didn't know that was coming. Well, let me give you another one. What about the storm coming? Does anybody know how, where, what, if any, it's going to happen? Well, watch the weather forecast. It will change every 5 minutes. And pretty soon we're putting up the stuff, and the next weekend it just blows by. Well, guess who knows that? God does. So see, we don't know what's around the corner. Everybody thinks in 2021, everything's going to be perfect again. Be careful. The only one that knows what's going to happen in 2021 is God. But he's still on the throne. You got it? Okay. So here's Paul, and how is he going to handle this? Well, here's why. Here's what I like. Anticipation about walking with God keeps us energetic, fresh, filled with faith and stamina, because we know God's in control. It doesn't matter what happens. He's in control. He's always there. Notice what Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, put him first, in other words. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He's not going to give you crazy stuff. Now, look at verse 7. Everybody, verse 7. Make sure you're following in the Word, because make sure I'm teaching the Bible. That's why you need to have it. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, would not allow them to. Now, how's Paul doing? He's 0-2 now. That should sound familiar to you and I. Sometimes we make a wrong decision. He's 0-2. This is the second time the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going to Bithynia either. That's not where God wants you. Well, how is Paul going to respond to two no's from God? He will not get angry with God. He will not disobey God because he knew that the wisdom of God was leading him. Now, I'm going to give you three ways God answers our prayers. If you've never written this down, you need to write it down. Three ways when you pray, There's three ways God answers our prayers. Here we go. Number one, yes, he answers our prayer. Basically, what he's saying is, enjoy life. I love to bless you. You're a Christ follower, and I want to give you good gifts. It's a way to go. Yes. How many like yes? How many like yes? Yeah, the whole hand goes up for all of us. Here's the next one. No. But we take it wrong sometimes. What's God saying? No, I have something better coming to you. And you're going to see tonight the two no's to Paul. Something's going to be way better than he ever could have imagined in his life. Now, as you and I look back over our lives, you'll discover truth. Often we thank God as we look back for no answers than even yes answers. Do you remember the person you dated in college? And you knew that is the one. But it didn't work out. And a few years later, you go to a celebration of 25 years. And you look across the room. Thank you, Jesus. Am I right? The minute she saw you, she says, thank you, Jesus. Am I right? You say, that doesn't happen. Oh, yes, it does. So a lot of people go back and go, God, thank you so much for saying no in a million different places. Well, now, we thank him for the yeses, of course. But that's just the way it works in life, because we don't understand all of it. Now, here's the third one. Trust me, you have to wait. How many like waiting? I don't like waiting either. But what God is saying is, trust me, your timing is not right. God, who knows all things, must be trusted to direct our life. And here's one of the things. It will involve his will and his timing. We are to wait actively by continuing to live by faith. In other words, if you're probably here tonight, or watching online, or on one of the campuses. We've all been there. Maybe you're going through it right now. God, when in the world are you going to answer this thing? Well, I'm just going to sit here and wait. No, keep praying. Have faith. He's always responded to you. He will respond to you, not in our timing, but his. You know what that builds? That builds stamina. That builds faith. Here's the verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. There's no way we can direct our own lives. So we have to wait on his timing. And as you know, God's will is involved with his timing. That's just the way it always goes. Now, so what are they going to do? Two no's. Look at verse 8. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. So Paul did the right thing. He obeyed God, didn't go to Bithynia either. He's not discouraged because he knows God always has something on coming, the perfect plan. Now, after two no's, Paul is in the waiting mode. Sometimes it's hard for all of us until God reveals it, but it will come. Now, here's a real great, I remember this, when I first learned this, I thought, that is so fantastic. Now, watch me. Look at Psalm 39, 2. It's on the overhead for you. Psalms, Old Testament. Do not be like the horse or the mule. Now, I won't ask you which one you are. Which have no understanding, but must be controlled by a bit and a bridle, or they will not come to you. So what is the Bible really saying there? He's saying this. Don't be like the horse. What does the horse like to do if you don't have a bridle on him? Woo! Run right ahead of you. You ever been riding on one of those horses? See, I don't like riding horses. My wife likes to ride horses. And I can't tell you the number of times we've been out there. And she gets this thing. And what do I get? Hold it, where are you going? And my wife's over there going, yes, because she knows how to ride a horse. I just get on it. I don't know what to do with the thing. But here it is. Think about this. Watch what it says. Do not be like the horse who will run ahead. Do not be like the mule, as you can't get him to move anywhere. Stubborn. If we wait for God's timing, look what God promises. But I want you to see this. Here's the danger. Don't move ahead of God. I'm talking about waiting. Don't move ahead of God, and don't lag behind God. Oh, you finally came through, God. Well, it's a little late for me now. No, it is not too late. You just follow God's timing. Look what he says. If we wait, I will instruct you. I will teach you. And the way you should go, I will counsel you and watch over you. See, that's the all-knowing God that we follow. We don't know that. Now, verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, remember, the greatest help we can give people is introducing him to Jesus Christ. So that's what's going to happen. So God honored Paul's obedience and gave him a supernatural vision that would make it so clear in Paul's mind, I know what to do now next. You gave me a vision. It's your plan. I didn't come up with it. I couldn't come up with it. You did it perfectly. So God's will, now watch me, was for Paul to go to Europe. He never had Europe in his mind. The gospel had never gone to Europe. But God had a plan for this time. It will go to Europe to share the gospel. Now, because of all God's Paul's obedience, the gospel went westward, ultimately in Europe. Now, think about this. And eventually from Europe, how did North America get the gospel? From Europe. It came here. So as you're here tonight, if you live in North America, you're watching me, because of Paul's obedience, eventually from Europe, the gospel would come to North America. Now here we have a problem. We need to take the gospel back to Europe, because they're basically, many of them are secular. They don't care anything about God. But the reason you're probably here tonight is because Paul obeyed God. Let me show you the map. You can just see it very clear. Now, remember, he's over here. He's at Troas. There's Asia, which is the Turkey. And he's going to have to get on a boat and come to the Aegean Sea. And he's going to come over. And you're going to see over there, eventually, there's Macedonia, where he's going, which the church in Philippi will start there. And look what's up in that left-hand corner. There is Europe. That's where it's going to go, Italy and all the rest of the things. So that was always God's plan. Now, later, he'll get to the other countries. But right now, God said, no, I want you to go here. So here's what happens. I like this statement because I've discussed it. I've experienced it in my own life. Look at the next one. Have faith. A closed door will lead to another open door. When God closes a door, be patient. Wait, because he'll open another door. Because God wants the whole world to be saved. So when one door closes, another one will open. When we got to this property, God closed the door I thought was right. Another area, another place. He just closed it. And I was not happy with God. But he'd opened another area. You know, when we bought the first lot, the owner said, you have to buy the whole property. Well, we were just opening the church. I said, we don't have that kind of money. And he said, well, I'll only sell the whole property. Well, we figured that's over with. And I kept praying, went back to him. And one day he was in the hospital. I went back to him, and I prayed with him. He says, all right, I'll sell you 10 acres. I said, praise the Lord. And then later, the church grew crazy. And I went back to him, kind of like this. Could you sell us the other 10 acres? He says, yeah, absolutely. Same price. Now, see, God closes the door and opens another one. You know what happened in the end? I went to visit him in the hospital, and before he died, he came to Jesus Christ. See, God knows what he's doing. I didn't know what was happening, but he did. Now, notice in Macedonia, they're begging him to come here and help us. How many people do you think are around us that are begging for help, but they don't know what they need? They need Jesus. They're all over the place. Now, God knew the hungry hearts of the people in Europe as well, hadn't ever been exposed to it. And God knows around us, office, neighborhood, school, is ready to receive the gospel. We need to pray, watch for an open door, continue to do it. Verse 10. After Paul had seen the vision, notice this little circle. You want to put this in your Bible if it's your Bible. Notice this word, after vision. After Paul had seen the vision, we. Now, who's writing the book of Luke? The book of Luke and the book of Acts. Who's writing it? Luke is. So who joined them? Luke did. At this point, Luke joined them and getting ready to go to. Notice that once we left for Macedonia, God has called us to preach the gospel to them. So in Luke 10, the physician, the writer of Acts, and the author of Luke itself, one of the gospels, now the team is four. Now, notice that word in verse 10. They got ready at once. Paul isn't going, I don't really want to go to Macedonia. It's not in my list. No, at once, the whole team went. See, he's the leader. And when God changes, and you have to be flexible, you need to go with God. And when God changed us here with this, we just went with it because we knew that was God. We were like 200 people or something like that. I don't know what we were, 300, 500. Boom, all of a sudden God went crazy with us. Thank you, Lord. Now, notice, there's no resentment. There's no procrastination. I talked about procrastination last week. There was no procrastination at all. And Paul and his party responded and left for Macedonia. Now, as I showed you, they're going to have to get on a boat, which wasn't his plan at all. It was always going to be on land. Now he's going to go through the agency. Now, remember what I told you at the beginning? The Christian life requires ongoing obedience and ongoing flexibility. That will never change. We have to be obedient and we have to be flexible because God knows what he's doing. Now look at Acts 16:11. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day onto Neapolis, a Roman colony and the leading city of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. Now, what do you think Paul and his team expected when they arrived with these people, this vision was they were looking? What did they expect when they arrived? Did they expect this huge crowd of people who would be going, finally you got here. We've been waiting for you. We need to hear the gospel. Well, when they arrived there, there was no reception at all. They didn't know who the four were. In fact, there was no church. There was no synagogue. There was no crowd of people asking about God. This is where we have to understand the danger of unrealistic expectations and God's timing as well. And God's ways are not our ways, but his ways are perfect. So they're probably thinking, well, we got a boat ride. We weren't well going over here. We can't go over here. We come here and there's nobody here. So what are they going to do? Our responsibility is to obey God. He directed them there. Something's going to happen. So, does the team go to the coffee shop and wait for God to open the door? No, I believe this is probably what they prayed. God, okay, we're here. What's the title of the teaching? What do we do next? We don't know anybody here. There's no synagogue. Paul can't go and teach. What do we do next? So the Holy Spirit, I know, guided them and told them the next steps to take. What would that look like? Look at verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. And we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there on the Sabbath day. See, Paul was a Jew. He knew the Jewish customs. Let me just share it with you. When you went into a city, if there weren't 10 Jewish men, you couldn't have a synagogue. But Paul knew when that happened, the believers in God would go down by a body of water, a river, whatever, canal, to worship and praise God because they didn't have a building. Well, there weren't 10 Jews there. So that's exactly what happened. There was no synagogue, so they would just go to the open place and usually offer prayer on the Sabbath as if there was a church. So the Holy Spirit led Paul and his team to these people where people were. He knew enough to go down by the water. He says to the guys, there's no synagogue. I kind of know where they'll be if there's any believers here at all. And we're going to go down there by the water. Now, what do they find? A woman's prayer meeting. And the Christian life requires what? Ongoing obedience and what? Flexibility. He's looking for a church. No church. Does God open another door? Yes, right down by the riverside. That's where he's going. He knows there's going to be people there, if there's anybody that's a believer. Now, look at verse 14. One of those listening, so Paul is already teaching. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira. Now watch this. Look at your Bible. Who was a worshiper of God. She had become a worshiper of God rather than the pagans. And somehow she heard about God. So she was a worshiper of God. And notice the next thing. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Now, this is a huge thing. She was a well-to-do, actually very rich Gentile merchant who sold fabric dyed in purple. She had turned from pagan idolatry to worship the God of Israel, but she had never heard a word about Jesus. Didn't know anything. She knew God, but that's it. She moved from a pagan to worship God, but that's all she had. So Paul taught these women, of course, how to accept Jesus Christ, who he was, how he came, how he died. He's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And after that, the Holy Spirit did one thing. Paul's message didn't open her heart. The Holy Spirit opened her heart. Now, Jesus said this one day, no one can come to me unless the Father sends me, draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So God draws people to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Now, when you became a Christian, God had called you, but the Holy Spirit lovingly convicted us. You have sin. You're not going to heaven. The biggest need you have is forgiveness. That was the Holy Spirit. Every believer must hear that, but then the next step is the unbeliever has to believe, be willing to repent, and believe in Jesus. So here's what's huge. Look at this. All Christ followers are called to share the good news. The rest is up to the Holy Spirit and the decision of those who hear the good news. So when I'm sharing the gospel one-on-one, in a meeting, in a nation, India, China, all these places we went forever, when I'm sharing the word, the Holy Spirit's taking the word and speaking to people. Now, they then have to decide and go, okay, I have to repent of my sins. I need Jesus. This is what's going to happen right here in this story. And then the next thing is, they have to decide, I have to repent myself. The Holy Spirit doesn't repent for us. We have to repent. He says, you can be right with God. Here's my promise. If you accept Jesus, you will be forgiven and you go to heaven. So that's what's happening here by the riverside. Now, notice, look at verse 15. When she and the members of her household were baptized, so they got baptized. So what already happened? They all got saved. Is that amazing? All the women there got saved. They asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart. First time they ever heard about it. They all got saved. And the next thing is they're baptized. Then she does this. She invites us, the team of four, to her home. She was rich. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So look at me. This is very important. Lydia was the first convert in Europe, in the world. You're reading history. You're reading amazing history. The first convert in Europe, Lydia, a woman down by the riverside. What a beautiful picture. So the whole household, which would have included her servants and guests and relatives, whatever, basically got baptized in water. Now, remember, baptism comes after salvation. Water baptism is a command from God, but it doesn't save you. That's exactly what they did. So what can we learn from Paul so far here? Well, he's flexible. He is absolutely submissive and obeys God. He knows the journey. He isn't leading it. God is leading it. And when you see that, it's a beautiful picture. You know what happens later? From this event, the church at Philippi, which is where they're at, will be one of his favorite churches ever, the book of Philippians. Now, the whole team are watching and learning. Let me just ask you two things, because we've learned so much tonight ourselves. What are two things that you can take from Paul's ministry and apply it to your life? Remember the three things. Yes, no, wait. But you don't get any of those unless you pray and ask. Is this what you want, God? Is this what I should do next? Boom, boom, boom. Yes, no, wait. But here's two more. Here we go. God, what do I do next? Ask God for his wisdom and direction. See, we don't know what to do in these decisions. We have no idea what to do in these decisions. When we were closed down because of the virus, the leadership, the elders, we didn't know what to do. I mean, where do you turn? Okay, virus, chapter Jeremiah 35. Here's what you do. You have to distance. You have to wear your mask. Yeah, right. But that's the same thing with you and your lives and your businesses. I remember the day that I made decisions in college. I knew that I was in engineering and I had calculus and physics. I said, Jesus, I'm going nowhere. Help me. I walked by the school of pharmacy and God said, that's where you need to be. Yes. If not, you wouldn't have me here because I'd have failed and flunked everything. I couldn't understand physics. I couldn't understand any of that. Calculus? Oh, my God, help me. One and one and two is enough for me. Here we go. Now, so I have to need that wisdom and direction. What's the Bible tell us? If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, not Google. Nothing wrong with asking Google, but, you know, half the time you don't know. Who gives generously without falling, will be given to him. Here's the next one about direction. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. We already read that. He directs the steps of the godly, and he delights in every detail. Here's the next one. Ask God to teach us to do his will. It doesn't help us to get an answer from God and then not obey. Paul was told, no, no, yes. Go there. Here's the vision. He does. Psalm 143:10. Teach me, this is David speaking, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on firm footing. You see, we struggle very often, and we know it's coming, but God, I'm not sure I can really do that. I can obey you. Yes, you can. When God says, that's what I want you to do, do it. Now, here's something I'm going to leave you with, and then we're going to take a quick prayer. And then we're going to have worship, and then we're going to take communion. Only the God-directed life, seriously, only the God-directed life is productive, effective, and enjoyable. Yes, there's ups and downs. That's the only life. Any other life will never work for you. It will never satisfy you. I don't care who you are. Only a God-directed life is productive, effective, and enjoyable. And remember, all those things are ongoing. You don't do it once. It's a lifestyle of following God. Now, let me just speak to you. You can just keep your eyes open here at the campuses. Also, those of you that are watching, all of you by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you homes watching, just look at me. Like the woman at the well, excuse me, at the river, what we watched her, Lydia, she believed in God, but she never heard about Jesus. Many of you who are watching me, men, ladies, you believe in God, but you have never turned your life over to Jesus Christ. You may have heard about him, but you never realized what that was. You never heard that there's a role that you have to do. And so God's will always starts, what should you do next? It's very simple. God's will asks for you. You need a personal relationship with Jesus. So the first thing you do is you say, Jesus, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to follow you. I want my sins forgiven. So you just ask God, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer to ask God to forgive you of your sins. Jesus died on the cross. They're already paid for. You cannot earn salvation. It has to come from you through what Jesus has already done. He has died and paid for your sins. Now, knowing about God is good, but it's not good enough. That's why Paul had to explain the gospel of Jesus. Now, the next thing you see here is some of you used to follow Jesus, but you've gotten off the path. You became one that changed. You are now leading your life. And I can tell you, because I've been doing this for 50-some years in different ways, you are having dead end after dead end after dead end after dead end. Oh, it was fun at the beginning, but it's a miserable life. It's time to make a recommitment and put the one that you need to be following in front of you. His name is God, and the Holy Spirit will direct your life as to. So you need to make that recommitment and do the very same thing. Ask God to forgive you. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you want to have Christ for the very first time in your life or make a recommitment, I want you just to bow your head right now, wherever you're at, and I'm going to pray a prayer. You pray this prayer quietly wherever you're at, just to yourself, and mean it to God. Here it is. God, I know Jesus paid for my sins, and I am a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I know he died for me, and today I choose to ask God to forgive me of my sins, and I choose to put my faith in Jesus Christ and to begin a life of following him. Thank you. Today I received that gift of salvation that I don't deserve, but it's a gift from you. Today, thank you for saving my life. And for those of you that need to make that recommitment, just say to him, God, I'm ready to come back home. I need a new start. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name. Now, remember a few months ago, where you were at, earlier in Acts, Saul was on the road to Damascus to kill more Christians. He believed in God, but he wanted to kill lots of Christians. When Jesus spoke from heaven to him, and basically Paul asks, I would call it, because I've done this all my life, the two greatest questions you could ask. Here they are on the overhead. Who are you, Lord? And what should I do? Who are you, Lord? And what should I do? Today's title is this: God, what do I do next? You see, Christ followers ask thousands of questions in a year, basically asking this: what should I do next? And those decisions, those questions, can be all kinds of things. Let me just give you a few quickly. Should I stay single or get married? Should I keep my house or buy another one? Should I accept the new job? I'm concerned because it's in another state. And it just goes on and on and on and on the questions. Now, in our Bible study, you're going to see the Apostle Paul has his own plan. He's already made his mind up. It's very good plan, but it wasn't God's plan. He forgot to ask somebody, God. So maybe Paul didn't know these Old Testament truths, but you will now know them. I'm pretty sure you know them anyway. Here they are, Jeremiah 10:23. I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. In other words, Jeremiah is saying, you weren't created to direct your own life. You can't do that. So I wrote it like this. We're not able to direct our own lives. Only God is. Now, here's how that works in Psalm 37:23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. Now, that's important. He directs his children. He directs Christ followers. He doesn't direct people that are not believers yet because they don't understand it. They've never submitted their life to God. They're just doing life on their own. Some of them don't know anything about it. Some of them are backslidden. So here are some keys, and you might want to write these down. When asking God, we all do it. What do I do next? By the way, as a pastor, we look at the scripture and we try to break it down. Okay, God, what do you want me to do next? I asked that a long time ago. Pretty much all the time when I'm going through a book, all right, how many scriptures do you want me to do? Do you want me to do the whole thing? See, I could sit here tonight, and we're in chapter 16. You're going to see that in a moment. I could have read you chapter 16 in like 25 minutes, and then you would just leave. But that's not the way God designed me. I want, when you leave, to know how to apply the verses I'm giving you, because it's an area that we need to learn together. Now, here's the three questions, basically, the three keys. Number one, a Christ follower is an ongoing journey with God. Now, when you see those words, we are on a journey with God. Till we get to heaven, we're on a journey. This minute you became a Christian, we're on a journey with God. Now, let me ask you a question. What does that mean? Who's following who? Am I saying, would you hurry up, God? Hurry up. I got something to do over here. And this is what I'm going to be doing, God. Thank you so much. I didn't have time to ask you. Let's just go this way. Is that what it means? No, it means who's in front of us? God is. Why do you think we call ourselves Christ followers? No, I'm a Balmer follower. Well, my dog is, and I hope my wife is, but that's about it. Same for you. So when you look at that, this is a question that you have to have. Here's the second one. It requires ongoing obedience. You're going to hear how to listen to God. And when he gives a plan, we have to obey it. Third, ongoing flexibility. There's lots of things that happen in our lives that are different than we are. And you're going to see Paul, he's going to have to be very flexible because we're going to see that his plan was not God's plan. So he's going to have to be flexible how to do life. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 16, 6. You guys online as well at our campuses. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Perga and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. We don't know exactly how the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul. Luke doesn't tell us. But here's something important. Next weekend, we're going to learn all the ways the Holy Spirit speaks to us. See, God is still speaking today. By the way, he's speaking to you right now through the living word of God. That's the number one way God speaks to us, always. Now, when you see that next week, it's going to be connected with this week, but we're going on to a new passage. in finishing that chapter. So Paul and his team are on the way to take the gospel to the whole world. And I think probably Paul went to AAA and he got a map. He knows exactly where he's going. He's got everything planned out, and he thinks it's really exciting. It's going to be good. The problem is, when he does that, let me take you a look at it. He wanted to go to Asia. Now, why do we speak about Asia here? It's not China or Taiwan. Asia is in the Roman Empire. Today, it is the country of Turkey. Turkey, so you'll know, way up in that area, Galatia and all that, which is now different names, but Turkey, there he is. So that's where he's planning on going. And you're going to see later, that's not where God's going to use him. You're going to see these little cities, Tarsus, and you're going to see the Asian Sea that's going to be up there. I'll have a different map for you. And eventually, he's going to go up to Thessalonica, he's going to go to Greek and Corinth. And then he's going to eventually get to Rome. So you're going to see today, he planned to go to the Turkey area because Ephesus was there. Later, God will give him Ephesus, but not now. So when you see that, it's just amazing. Notice that Paul's plan, itinerary, was not approved by God. The Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going where you think. It was a great place to go, but it wasn't the right place. Now, it was clear that the Holy Spirit had other plans. Now, what is Paul going to have to be? He's either going to have to obey or disobey. If he has to obey, then if he wants to obey, it's going to be flexible. He's changing his plans. That's what we do when God does things. He just changes our plans. Now, he's going to have to choose between his plan and God's plan. You already know what the right thing is to do there. But in our selfishness sometimes, we want to do it this way. And later, Paul will totally submit to the Holy Spirit in the controls and decisions of his life. Here's a question for you. Here's a question for me. You guys that are watching, all the campuses. Is the Holy Spirit in control of your decisions? Now, what's that mean is, have you asked the Holy Spirit? You say, well, Pastor Mark, it's a great plan. Paul's plan was great. But it was the wrong decision. He didn't go to God, but the Holy Spirit had to come to him. And so we have to be open, and you'll hear that next week. We have to be sensitive to God who's speaking. Now, where does all of that happen? Well, it happens in our prayer time that we're asking God, is this what you want me to do next? And God will respond to us. God is still speaking today. Now, how does that look? Romans 8:14, you know this verse. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. It's very easy to reverse that word. Every Christ follower is led by the Spirit of God. No exceptions. That's the way God does it. So say this after me. Vieira, Sebastian, you guys online, everybody here at the campus, say it with me. Here we go. Christ followers are led by the Spirit of God. That is a beautiful promise because we're not doing our own direction. We can't do our own direction in life. We can't answer those questions, but God can. Now, when a person becomes a Christ follower, you know why that's true. The Holy Spirit comes to live in our heart and for many reasons, but one of the great reasons is this, to give us direction with all the decisions and all the questions we have in our life. I need to hear God, and that's what we're talking about. Now, one of the most exciting things to me is to know that we can hear God's voice, we can know what it means, and then be led by him. Can I just say to you, nobody knows what happens tomorrow. Was that proven in March of 2020? Yeah, everything changed. Was God up there going, oh my goodness, I didn't know that was coming. Well, let me give you another one. What about the storm coming? Does anybody know how, where, what, if any, is going to happen? Well, watch the weather forecast. It will change every 5 minutes. And pretty soon we're putting up the stuff, and the next weekend it just blows by. Well, guess who knows that? God does. So see, we don't know what's around the corner. Everybody thinks in 2021, everything's going to be perfect again. Be careful. The only one that knows what's going to happen in 2021 is God. But he's still on the throne. You got it? Okay. So here's Paul. And how is he going to handle this? Well, here's why. Here's what I like. Anticipation about walking with God keeps us energetic, fresh, filled with faith and stamina. Because we know God's in control. It doesn't matter what happens. He's in control. He's always there. Notice what Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. Put him first, in other words. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He's not going to give you crazy stuff. Now, look at verse 7. Everybody, verse 7. Make sure you're following in the Word, because make sure I'm teaching the Bible. That's why you need to have it. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, would not allow them to. Now, how's Paul doing? He's 0-2 now. That should sound familiar to you and I. Sometimes we make a wrong decision. He's 0-2. This is the second time the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going to Bithynia either. That's not where God wants you. Well, how is Paul going to respond to two no's from God? He will not get angry with God. He will not disobey God, because he knew that the wisdom of God was leading him. Now, I'm going to give you three ways God answers our prayers. If you've never written this down, you need to write it down. Three ways when you pray, there's three ways God answers our prayers. Here we go. Number one, yes, he answers our prayer. Basically, what he's saying is, enjoy life. I love to bless you. You're a Christ follower, and I want to give you good gifts. It's a way to go. Yes. How many like yes? How many like yes? Yeah, the whole hand goes up for all of us. Here's the next one. No. But we take it wrong sometimes. What's God saying? No, I have something better coming to you. And you're going to see tonight, the two no's to Paul, something's going to be way better than he ever could have imagined in his life. Now, as you and I look back over our lives, you'll discover truth. Often we thank God as we look back for no answers than even yes answers. Do you remember the person you dated in college? And you knew that is the one. But it didn't work out. And a few years later, you go to a celebration of 25 years. And you look across the room. Thank you, Jesus. Am I right? The minute she saw you, she says, thank you, Jesus. Am I right? You say, that doesn't happen. Oh, yes, it does. So a lot of people go back and go, God, thank you so much for saying no in a million different places. Well, now we thank him for the yeses, of course. But that's just the way it works in life, because we don't understand all of it. Now, here's the third one. Trust me, you have to wait. How many like waiting? I don't like waiting either. But what God is saying is, trust me, your timing is not right. God, who knows all things, must be trusted to direct our life. And here's one of the things. It will involve his will and his timing. We are to wait actively by continuing to live by faith. In other words, if you're probably here tonight or watching online on one of the campuses. We've all been there. Maybe you're going through it right now. God, when in the world are you going to answer this thing? Well, I'm just going to sit here and wait. No, keep praying. Have faith. He's always responded to you. He will respond to you, not in our timing, but his. You know what that builds? That builds stamina. That builds faith. Here's the verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. There's no way we can direct our own lives. So we have to wait on his timing. And as you know, God's will is involved with his timing. That's just the way it always goes. Now, so what are they going to do? Two no's. Look at verse 8. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. So Paul did the right thing. He obeyed God, didn't go to Bithynia either. He's not discouraged because he knows God always has something on coming, the perfect plan. Now, after two no's, Paul is in the waiting mode. Sometimes it's hard for all of us until God reveals it, but it will come. Now, here's a real great, I remember this, when I first learned this, I thought, that is so fantastic. Now watch me. Look at Psalm 39, 2. It's on the overhead for you. Psalms, Old Testament. Do not be like the horse or the mule. Now, I won't ask you which one you are. Which have no understanding, but must be controlled by a bit and a bridle, or they will not come to you. So what is the Bible really saying there? He's saying this, don't be like the horse. What does the horse like to do if you don't have a bridle on him? Woo! Run right ahead of you. You ever been riding on one of those horses? See, I don't like riding horses. My wife likes to ride horses. And I can't tell you the number of times we've been out there. And she gets this thing. And what do I get? Hold it, hold it, hold it. Where are you going? And my wife's over there going, yes. Because she knows how to ride a horse. I just get on it. I don't know what to do with the thing. But here it is. Think about this. Watch what it says. Do not be like the horse who will run ahead. Do not be like the mule, as you can't get him to move anywhere. Stubborn. If we wait for God's timing, look what God promises. But I want you to see this. Here's a danger. Don't move ahead of God. I'm talking about waiting. Don't move ahead of God and don't lag behind God. Oh, you finally came through, God. Well, it's a little late for me now. No, it is not too late. You just follow God's timing. Look what he says. If we wait, I will instruct you. I will teach you, and the way you should go, I will counsel you and watch over you. See, that's the all-knowing God that we follow. We don't know that. Now, verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, remember, the greatest help we can give people is introducing him to Jesus Christ. So that's what's going to happen. So God honored Paul's obedience and gave him a supernatural vision that would make it so clear in Paul's mind, I know what to do now next. You gave me a vision. It's your plan. I didn't come up with it. I couldn't come up with it. You did it perfectly. So God's will, now watch me, was for Paul to go to Europe. He never had Europe in his mind. The gospel had never gone to Europe, but God had a plan for this time. It will go to Europe to share the gospel. Now, because of all God's Paul's obedience, the gospel went westward, ultimately in Europe. Now, think about this. And eventually from Europe, how did North America get the gospel? From Europe. It came here. So as you're here tonight, if you live in North America, you're watching me, because of Paul's obedience, eventually from Europe, the gospel would come to North America. Now, here we have a problem. We need to take the gospel back to Europe because they're basically, many of them are secular. They don't care anything about God. But the reason you're probably here tonight is because Paul obeyed God. Let me show you the map. You can just see it very clear. Now, remember, he's over here. He's at Troas. There's Asia, which is the Turkey. And he's going to have to get on a boat and come to the Aegean Sea. And he's going to come over. And you're going to see over there, eventually, there's Macedonia, where he's going, which the church in Philippi will start there. And look what's up in that left-hand corner. There is Europe. That's where it's going to go, Italy and all the rest of the things. So that was always God's plan. Now, later, he'll get to the other countries. But right now, God said, no, I want you to go here. So here's what happens. I like this statement because I've discussed it. I've experienced it in my own life. Look at the next one. Have faith. A closed door will lead to another open door. When God closes a door, be patient. Wait, because he'll open another door. Because God wants the whole world to be saved. So when one door closes, another one will open. When we got to this property, God closed the door I thought was right. Another area, another place. He just closed it. And I was not happy with God. But he'd opened another area. You know, when we bought the first lot, the owner said, you have to buy the whole property. Well, we were just opening the church. I said, we don't have that kind of money. And he said, well, I'll only sell the whole property. Well, we figured that's over with. And I kept praying, went back to him. And one day he was in the hospital. I went back to him, and I prayed with him. He says, all right, I'll sell you 10 acres. I said, praise the Lord. And then later, the church grew crazy. And I went back to him, kind of like this. Could you sell us the other 10 acres? He says, yeah, absolutely. Same price. Now, see, God closes the door and opens another one. You know what happened in the end? I went to visit him in the hospital, and before he died, he came to Jesus Christ. See, God knows what he's doing. I didn't know what was happening, but he did. Now, notice in Macedonia, they're begging him to come here and help us. How many people do you think are around us that are begging for help, but they don't know what they need? They need Jesus. They're all over the place. Now, God knew the hungry hearts of the people in Europe as well, hadn't ever been exposed to it. And God knows around us, office, neighborhood, school, is ready to receive the gospel. We need to pray, watch for an open door, continue to do it. Verse 10. After Paul had seen the vision, notice this little circle. You want to put this in your Bible if it's your Bible. Notice this word, after vision. After Paul had seen the vision, we. Now, who's writing the book of Luke? The book of Luke and the book of Acts. Who's writing it? Luke is. So who joined them? Luke did. At this point, Luke joined them and getting ready to go to. Notice that once we left for Macedonia, God has called us to preach the gospel to them. So in Luke 10, a physician, the writer of Acts, and the author of Luke itself, one of the gospels, now the team is four. Now, notice that word in verse 10. They got ready at once. Paul isn't going, I don't really want to go to Macedonia. It's not in my list. No, at once, the whole team went. See, he's the leader. And when God changes, and you have to be flexible, you need to go with God. And when God changed us here with this, we just went with it because we knew that was God. We were like 200 people or something like that. I don't know what we were, 300, 500. Boom, all of a sudden God went crazy with us. Thank you, Lord. Now, notice, there's no resentment. There's no procrastination. I talked about procrastination last week. There was no procrastination at all. And Paul and his party responded and left for Macedonia. Now, as I showed you, they're going to have to get on a boat, which wasn't his plan at all. It was always going to be on land. Now he's going to go through the agency. Now, remember what I told you at the beginning? The Christian life requires ongoing obedience and ongoing flexibility. That will never change. We have to be obedient and we have to be flexible because God knows what he's doing. Now, look at Acts 16:11. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace. And the next day, on to Neapolis, a Roman colony and the leading city of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. Now, what do you think Paul and his team expected when they arrived with these people, this vision was they were looking? What did they expect when they arrived? Did they expect this huge crowd of people who would be going, finally you got here. We've been waiting for you. We need to hear the gospel. Well, when they arrived there, there was no reception at all. They didn't know who the four were. In fact, there was no church. There was no synagogue. There was no crowd of people asking about God. This is where we have to understand the danger of unrealistic expectations and God's timing as well. And God's ways are not our ways, but his ways are perfect. So they're probably thinking, well, we got a boat ride. We weren't well going over here. We can't go over here. We come here and there's nobody here. So what are they going to do? Our responsibility is to obey God. He directed them there. Something's going to happen. So does the team go to the coffee shop and wait for God to open the door? No, I believe this is probably what they prayed. God, okay, we're here. What's the title of the teaching? What do we do next? We don't know anybody here. There's no synagogue. Paul can't go and teach. What do we do next? So the Holy Spirit, I know, guided them and told them the next steps to take. What would that look like? Look at verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. And we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there on the Sabbath day. See, Paul was a Jew. He knew the Jewish customs. Let me just share it with you. When you went into a city, if there weren't 10 Jewish men, you couldn't have a synagogue. But Paul knew when that happened, the believers in God would go down by a body of water, a river, whatever, canal, to worship and praise God because they didn't have a building. Well, there weren't 10 Jews there. So that's exactly what happened. There was no synagogue, so they would just go to the open place and usually offer prayer on the Sabbath as if there was a church. So the Holy Spirit led Paul and his team to these people where people were. He knew enough to go down by the water. He says to the guys, there's no synagogue. I kind of know where they'll be if there's any believers here at all. And we're going to go down there by the water. Now, what do they find? A woman's prayer meeting. And the Christian life requires what? Ongoing obedience and what? Flexibility. He's looking for a church. No church. Does God open another door? Yes, right down by the riverside. That's where he's going. He knows there's going to be people there. If there's anybody that's a believer. Now, look at verse 14. One of those listening, so Paul is already teaching. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira. Now watch this. Look at your Bible. Who was a worshiper of God. She had become a worshiper of God rather than the pagans. And somehow she heard about God. So she was a worshiper of God. And notice the next thing. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Now, this is a huge thing. She was a well-to-do, actually very rich Gentile merchant who sold fabric dyed in purple. She had turned from pagan idolatry to worship the God of Israel, but she had never heard a word about Jesus. Didn't know anything. She knew God, but that's it. She moved from a pagan to worship God, but that's all she had. So Paul taught these women, of course, how to accept Jesus Christ, who he was, how he came, how he died. He's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And after that, the Holy Spirit did one thing. Paul's message didn't open her heart. The Holy Spirit opened her heart. Now, Jesus said this one day, no one can come to me unless the Father sends me, draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So God draws people to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Now, when you became a Christian, God had called you, but the Holy Spirit lovingly convicted us. You have sin. You're not going to heaven. The biggest need you have is forgiveness. That was the Holy Spirit. Every believer must hear that. But then the next step is the unbeliever has to believe, be willing to repent, and believe in Jesus. So here's what's huge. Look at this. All Christ followers are called to share the good news. The rest is up to the Holy Spirit and the decision of those who hear the good news. So when I'm sharing the gospel one-on-one, in a meeting, in a nation, India, China, all these places we went forever, when I'm sharing the word, the Holy Spirit's taking the word and speaking to people. Now, they then have to decide and go, okay, I have to repent of my sins. I need Jesus. This is what's going to happen right here in this story. And then the next thing is, they have to decide, I have to repent myself. The Holy Spirit doesn't repent for us. We have to repent. He says, you can be right with God. Here's my promise. If you accept Jesus, you will be forgiven and you go to heaven. So that's what's happening here by the riverside. Now, notice, look at verse 15. When she and the members of her household were baptized, so they got baptized. So what already happened? They all got saved. Is that amazing? All the women there got saved. They asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart. First time they ever heard about it. They all got saved. And the next thing is they're baptized. Then she does this. She invites us, the team of four, to her home. She was rich. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So look at me. This is very important. Lydia was the first convert in Europe, in the world. You're reading history. You're reading amazing history. The first convert in Europe, Lydia, a woman down by the riverside. What a beautiful picture. So the whole household, which would have included her servants and guests and relatives, whatever, basically got baptized in water. Now remember, baptism comes after salvation. Water baptism is a command from God, but it doesn't save you. That's exactly what they did. So what can we learn from Paul so far here? Well, he's flexible. He is absolutely submissive and obeys God. He knows the journey. He isn't leading it. God is leading it. And when you see that, it's a beautiful picture. You know what happens later? From this event, the church at Philippi, which is where they're at, will be one of his favorite churches ever. The book of Philippians. Now, the whole team are watching and learning. Let me just ask you two things, because we've learned so much tonight ourselves. What are two things that you can take from Paul's ministry and apply it to your life? Remember the three things. Yes, no, wait. But you don't get any of those unless you pray and ask. Is this what you want, God? Is this what I should do next? Boom, boom, boom. Yes, no, wait. But here's two more. Here we go. God, what do I do next? Ask God for his wisdom and direction. See, we don't know what to do in these decisions. We have no idea what to do in these decisions. When we were closed down because of the virus, the leadership, the elders, we didn't know what to do. I mean, where do you turn? Okay, virus, chapter Jeremiah 35. Here's what you do. You have to distance. You have to wear your mask. Yeah, right. But that's the same thing with you and your lives and your businesses. I remember the day that I made decisions in college. I knew that I was in engineering and I had calculus and physics. I said, Jesus, I'm going nowhere. Help me. I walked by the school of pharmacy, and God said, that's where you need to be. Yes. If not, you wouldn't have me here, because I'd have failed and flunked everything. I couldn't understand physics. I couldn't understand any of that. Calculus? Oh, my God, help me. One and one and two is enough for me. Here we go. Now, so I have to need that wisdom and direction. What's the Bible tell us? If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, not Google. Nothing wrong with asking Google, but, you know, half the time you don't know. Who gives generously without falling fault, it will be given to him. Here's the next one about direction. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. We already read that. He directs the steps of the godly, and he delights in every detail. Here's the next one. Ask God to teach us to do his will. It doesn't help us to get an answer from God and then not obey. Paul was told, no, no, yes, go there. Here's the vision. He does. Psalm 143:10. Teach me, this is David speaking, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on firm footing. You see, we struggle very often, and we know it's coming, but God, I'm not sure I can really do that. I can obey you. Yes, you can. When God says, that's what I want you to do, do it. Now, here's something I'm going to leave you with, and then we're going to take a quick prayer, and then we're going to have worship, and then we're going to take communion. Only the God-directed life, seriously, only the God-directed life is productive, effective, and enjoyable. Yes, there's ups and downs. That's the only life. Any other life will never work for you. It will never satisfy you. I don't care who you are. Only a God-directed life is productive, effective, and enjoyable. And remember, all those things are ongoing. You don't do it once. It's a lifestyle of following God. Now, let me just speak to you. You can just keep your eyes open here at the campuses. Also, those of you that are watching, all of you by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you homes watching, just look at me. Like the woman at the well, excuse me, at the river, what we watched her, Lydia, she believed in God, but she never heard about Jesus. Many of you who are watching me, men, ladies, you believe in God, but you have never turned your life over to Jesus Christ. You may have heard about him, but you never realized what that was. You never heard that there's a role that you have to do. And so God's will always starts. What should you do next? It's very simple. God's will asks for you. You need a personal relationship with Jesus. So the first thing you do is you say, Jesus, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to follow you. I want my sins forgiven. So you just ask God, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer to ask God to forgive you of your sins. Jesus died on the cross. They're already paid for. You cannot earn salvation. It has to come from you through what Jesus has already done. He has died and paid for your sins. Now, knowing about God is good, but it's not good enough. That's why Paul had to explain the gospel of Jesus. Now, the next thing you see here is some of you used to follow Jesus, but you've gotten off the path. You became one that changed. You are now leading your life. And I can tell you, because I've been doing this for 50-some years in different ways, you are having dead end after dead end after dead end after dead end. Oh, it was fun at the beginning, but it's a miserable life. It's time to make a recommitment and put the one that you need to be following in front of you. His name is God, and the Holy Spirit will direct your life as to. So you need to make that recommitment and do the very same thing. Ask God to forgive you. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you want to have Christ for the very first time in your life or make a recommitment, I want you just to bow your head right now, wherever you're at, and I'm going to pray a prayer. You pray this prayer quietly, wherever you're at, just to yourself, and mean it to God. Here it is. God, I know Jesus paid for my sins, and I am a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I know he died for me, and today I choose to ask God to forgive me of my sins, and I choose to put my faith in Jesus Christ and to begin a life of following him. Thank you. Today I received that gift of salvation that I don't deserve, but it's a gift from you. Today, thank you for saving my life. And for those of you that need to make that recommitment, just say to him, God, I'm ready to come back home. I need a new start. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name.